In the beginning was God. Through him all things were made. Light, sky, oceans, rivers, seas, mountains, plants, trees, the stars, the moon, the sun, every living creature, humans made in the image of God, spirit breathed into body, living soul, good. Creation, scripture says, good, very good. All moving in God's perfect rhythm. In Genesis chapter 1, God sets the rhythms of creation in motion. With the first words of the Bible, in the beginning, God spoke time into existence. And with each day, the same rhythm of evening and morning. God ordered the day and night, the seasons, the days, the years, marking them with the sun and the moon. And once creation was complete, God did something remarkable. He rested. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we're going to read several verses from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." God set apart the seventh day. If you've grown up in church, you know that for Christians, that's become the first day of the week, Sunday. But we refer to it by the name that we find in Scripture. We speak about the Sabbath. God set apart the seventh day, and he blessed it, and he made it holy. The God of the universe, who Scripture says does not grow weary, took a rest. But he doesn't need to rest because he's tired. So why does God set this day apart, this day that he rested from his work of creation? Why does he take the time to rest when he doesn't need rest for his own renewal? He does this for his creation. He rested so that we would rest. And think about this. In the creation story, it's on the sixth day that God creates man, and out of man creates woman, and the two became one flesh as husband and wife. The very next day, they spent it in rest. I never thought about that before. In the narrative of creation, it was the sixth day that Adam and Eve were created. And it's the seventh day, the day that God rested, that God declared as a Sabbath or a rest. That was the first full day for man and woman. And they spent their first full day, evening and morning of their first day, but the seventh day of creation, they spent it resting with God. Their first full day of existence was spent in a day that had been set apart to be holy. They spent it worshiping their Creator, dwelling in his peace and resting. Some scholars suspect that the reference in Genesis 3 to God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, looking for Adam and Eve to talk to them, indicates the fact that that probably was a pattern, that on that day, God would come and walk through the garden of his creation and spend time with Adam and Eve. Before they ever participated in a full day of work, tending God's creation and working the garden, they rested. And I want you to think about this pattern, because our pattern is the opposite of what it started in creation. We work and then we rest. Adam and Eve, their first day, they rested and then they worked. God's model for life, I believe, has a rhythm and a pattern that is rooted in grace. A pattern for life where rest is first given and never earned. A pattern where work flows out of worship and flows out of rest. But if we know the story of Scripture, It's not long before something happened and everything was put out of kilter. Adam and Eve basically had a desire to know and to be in control, and they wanted to be like God, and they wanted to gain wisdom for themselves. And ultimately what that meant in their rebellion against God and not trusting him is they wanted to be in control of their own lives. And that's the same problem that we have had for the thousands and thousands of years. We want to be in control of our lives. And in the moment that they took that bite from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the rhythm of creation was distorted. They tried to hide their sin. They tried to cover up. They tried to fix what only God could fix. And like we still do today, they tried to blame someone else. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And what you find in Genesis chapter 3 is that work became wearisome and hard, and life got out of sync. And humans lost sight of God's rhythm of rest and work. And they no longer naturally worship God, their creator. Adam and Eve fell. We could say they ruined everything. But if it would have been you and I, we would have done the same thing. They ruined everything, including the Sabbath day of rest that God had established as a day where he rested from his labor and a day that was set aside as holy to him. So instead of walking with God, you find them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, hiding from God. There used to be a rhythm to their life where they would walk with God and they would talk with him, and God came down and walked with them in the cool in the garden. But after they sinned and after they rebelled and after they decided they wanted to be in control of their lives, they hid from God. They had wanted to be like God. They had wanted to have control. But there would be something that would always remind them that they ultimately were not in control. There would be one thing that would remind them that they needed to rest. One thing that reminded them that they needed to worship God. And we learn later in Scripture that that one thing had a name, and it was the name Sabbath. God's rest is a gift of grace to us. And so much so in our Christian traditions and history, we have so skewed the idea of Sabbath that we've made it, well, just like the Jewish people did in Jesus' day, we've made it about this whole list of rules and things that you can or cannot do. And so, you know, most of us, if we've grown up in church, maybe have a little bit of a negative connotation toward, you know, the Sabbath day, because it's in our minds, it's laden with a lot of guilt about all the things we're not supposed to do and the things that we do on the Sabbath. And we fail to see that this was God's gift of grace, a gift of rest for his creation. And unless we cease striving, we never receive that gift. The biblical idea of Sabbath is not that it was just an obligation for the people to observe, but rather it was a gift that God gave to his people. When God was establishing the descendants of Abraham as his people, those people that we know as the Israelites, through whom all the peoples and nations of the earth would be blessed, one of the central commands that he gave them as a nation was to observe the Sabbath. So if you'll turn over a few more pages to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And in Exodus chapter 20, we find what we refer to as the Ten Commandments. We get down to verse 8, and we read about Sabbath. God speaks through Moses, and he says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien or foreigner within your gates. For in 6 days," and here it references back to the creation story, "for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Sabbath, going back to the earliest times of the nation of Israel, was to be observed as a day that was set apart to the Lord. And worship was part of that. There were two components of it. One was that you rested from your labor, and the other was that you focused your attention on God in worship. You were to work the other days of the week, but the seventh day was to be a day of rest. And Moses, as he records God's words in these commands, looks back to the creation narrative. And God's example of resting on the seventh day becomes the basis for our need to rest. And the fact that God established this rhythm of rest and work is the reason that we observe a Sabbath rest. Now, when you say the Sabbath, referring to a specific day, if you look it up in the Hebrew language as a noun, referring to a day, the Sabbath, there's only one English word that's close to the translation. And it's interesting. I never knew this before. It's the word intermission. What do you do when you have an intermission? You take a break. You take a break from Act 1 or Act 2 of the movie, or you have an intermission in the middle of a football game. It's a time where the musicians rest, where the athletes rest. There is an intermission. But the term Sabbath, referring to the Sabbath, actually comes from a Hebrew word, Shabbat. And that means, as a verb, as an action, it means to cease, to stop doing something, to desist. That means you stop doing it, you cease, and you rest. So as a verb, Sabbath means to rest. As a noun, it meant an intermission, a break, a resting point. In their sinfulness, people were prone to think, and still are prone to think, we are still prone to think this way, that our lives are so important that we don't need to rest and take a day to honor God. And so clear back thousands of years ago, the people of Israel, you know, struggled with this whole thing. And so God laid out some really specific commands, and some of those commands were pretty intense. The laws for Israel were written for the benefit of the people. The ones you read in the Old Testament, they were strict laws established about observing the Sabbath. And it was for the good of the people. The main reason for those Sabbath laws was so that people would stop their incessant efforts to make a life for themselves and to control their own life. They were to slow down and rest, and in doing so, they were to turn their attention and their worship to God. And so Israel, through its whole existence as a nation, through the Old Testament and even up to the time of Jesus, they were a people who were bound by the Sabbath as the one day that they had, not just to rest, but the one day to remind them who it was that they were to worship, and to remind them that really everything that they had not come from their own hands, but had come from God. Sabbath rest is a lot about relinquishing control. When we rest, we take our hands off of the controls, and we allow God to take the lead. And I think that's a lot of what was involved in the Sabbath rest. It was not only that man needed a rest from their labor, but it was that man needed to focus his attention, her attention, toward God in worship, and to let go of the controls of their life. And so today we find, as we transition from the Old Testament into the New Testament and the age of the church, we are not bound by the Old Testament Sabbath restrictions and rules. If we were, let's be honest, we'd all be in trouble because some of those rules were pretty strict. In fact, there was death that was associated with some of the violations or breaking of the Sabbath. But all of that was for one purpose, and that was to show how important God considered a Sabbath rest and Sabbath worship. The primary issue in the Old Testament with people not keeping the Sabbath was that they were turning away from God and turning to other idols. In other words, they turned to things which had become more important to them than God, and they had worshipped those things. Now, some of those were indeed idols that were from pagan deities and things that were carved out of wood or stone, what we tend to think of idols. But even in Old Testament times, some of those idols were work and gaining wealth and accumulating goods, and some of those are the same idols that we have today. By the time of Jesus, the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, literally had gone crazy with hundreds and hundreds of minute, detailed rules and prohibitions for the Sabbath, down to how heavy of a needle you could pick up or how many steps you could walk. I mean, it was almost impossible to keep the Sabbath in those rules. And the problem with all of that that Jesus began to confront them on was that they missed the whole point of the Sabbath. They missed the point of rest and worship. And they made it all about legalistically keeping an impossible list of rules. And I've shared before that all of us probably, if we've grown up in church, you know, we had in our family different rules, things you were allowed to do or not to do on Sunday because that was the Sabbath. And it was always interesting to me that it just depended on what church background you were from or what your family traditions were. It was like what was allowed and what wasn't allowed. And somehow I think in all of that, we missed the point. The Sabbath as God established it, the seventh day of creation being the day of rest where God rested from his labors, a day that was set aside as holy, a day that was set aside to worship God. It was not about keeping a whole list of rules. It was about resting. The problem is human beings don't want to give up control and we don't want to rest. So God has to like, okay, here's all these things that you got to, this is what it means to rest because we don't get it through our thick skulls sometimes. Jesus made an interesting statement during his 3 years of public ministry. He referred to the fact that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And once he told people that they were not made for the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath rules, but the Sabbath was made for them. In other words, the Sabbath was for their good and for their blessing. By the time of Jesus, synagogues were places for worship on the Sabbath. Jesus always went to the synagogues on the Sabbath. The apostles and the early church went to the synagogues. The apostle Paul always went to a synagogue whenever he went to a new town that he visited. For the Jewish people, even in Jesus' day, and for the early disciples in the church, rest and worship went together. But even aside from observing the Sabbath, Jesus also made a point of taking time away to rest. In Mark chapter 6, it tells a story about how Jesus sent out his 12 disciples on mission, and they went from village to village and town to town. And when they got back and they were telling Jesus about everything that happened, this is in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 31. You'll see the scripture up there. The apostles gathered around Jesus, scripture says, and reported to him all that they had done and taught. So, you know, here's all the things that they were doing for God. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So you begin to see, not just in the creation narrative, but in the whole narrative of the history of God's people of Israel, that God had established a rhythm of work and rest. God rested on the seventh day. But that's not just the creation narrative. That's the narrative of life as God designed it. We are not made to work or to be on the go 24/7. And I don't know, maybe it's always been this way, but it seems like in this generation that we live in, that term is a common term, 24/7. You know, used to be that what limited stuff you had, and when AOL was probably the first and only thing online, you know, wasn't necessarily something that was available 24/7. There were certain times when we lived in the Philippines that we could have access to send an email, not personally, but through a server in the mission office in Manila. But now we live in a day where everything is 24/7. Restaurants are open 24/7. Businesses are open 24/7. The internet is always online 24/7. So here's the problem with all of this. There's a chart up there. I don't know how well you can read it, and I'm gonna zoom up here in just a moment. We tend to operate as human beings on a cycle of work. And this comes from a workbook that I've been going through by a lady by the name of Laura Dingman. And it starts up there in that upper corner. You notice the arrows are going this way. It starts with our achievements. And so the way we operate so often is that we think that what we do and we think that our achievements are the most important things and that those achievements hopefully will give us significance. And then we hope that our achievements and our significance will be what sustains us and gives us strength. If we can just do all the right things, if we can achieve things, and then we get significance by what we achieve, then that's going to be our sustaining strength and energy. And hopefully, all that leads to acceptance. So we get in this pattern or this cycle of work where we think that our achievements will give us significance, and we think that the feelings from that significance are going to sustain us and give us strength. And in the end, we hope that our achievements will gain us acceptance by God and others. And so a lot of people live their lives with, it's all about what I do and what I achieve, and I get my significance from what I achieve, and that gives me energy to keep going. But ultimately, what I'm striving for somehow is to get acceptance from others and to get acceptance from God. That's a cycle of work. And people that are caught in a cycle of works, it's all about what I do, how good I am, how well I keep God's commands. If somehow I can just do all these things and achieve all these things, then somehow ultimately I'm going to be accepted by God. And the narrative of Scripture in God's grace is just the opposite. So this second diagram, the same little quadrants of the circle. If we can change it to the cycle of grace. Thank you. God intends for us to live by grace. We see that through the teaching of the New Testament. So our relationship with Him is not based on what we do or how well we perform or how good we are or how religious we are. Our relationship with Him is based on the fact that in His grace, He offered us a relationship with Himself through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. So this is the totally opposite. And if you noticed on that other thing, the circle just kept going. When you operate on a cycle of works where it's your achievements that give you significance and hopefully your significance energizes you and gives you acceptance, you just keep going round and round that circle because it's never ending. But this is different. This starts with acceptance. It starts with the fact that we are accepted by God. And you think about Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And Romans 8:39, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So we start, if we're in relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, we should be living in this cycle of grace. And it starts with the knowledge that we are already accepted and loved by God. And because we are accepted and loved by God, we find the sustaining strength to live our lives. So it's based on that acceptance from God. We gain strength of knowing that we're accepted, and we get our significance not from our achievements. We get our significance from the fact that we are accepted and loved by God as His child. And out of that acceptance and that love and that sense of belonging to God, we then live our lives to achieve things for the glory of God, not for our own sake. So it's a totally different way of looking at how we live our lives. We start with acceptance. We get our strength from knowing that we belong to God in Christ. And then we find our significance because we are a child of God. And out of that significance flows the things that we do that bring glory to God and bring good to others. So rather than chasing significance and acceptance in all the things we do for God, Scripture gives us this picture that we need to rest in God, knowing that we are accepted in Christ. And so I believe that we still need, maybe more than ever, we need a day in our lives that is set aside for rest. And part of that rest is not just a physical rest, a rest from our labor, it's rest for our souls. That involves a study of God's word and worship and prayer. And it's interesting, there are more and more studies, not necessarily by Christian theologians, but by medical doctors, more and more studies that show that we need a day of rest, that we are not wired biologically, mentally, spiritually. We are not wired to go 24/7. We need a day of rest. In the Jewish culture of the Old Testament, the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, or our Saturday. The early church, after Christ's resurrection, began to meet on the first day of the week, Sunday, because that was the day that Christ came out of the grave. That was kind of interesting in the song. If you were able to follow the lyrics of the song that Ronnie was singing, it talks about the fact that it's referring to the seventh day or the Saturday when Christ was in the tomb and God rested. That's a really interesting picture. On the Jewish Sabbath, God rested. Jesus rested from the work that he did on the cross. So the early church began meeting on Sunday, the day of Christ's resurrection, and the Sabbath became known as the Lord's Day. But through most of the history of the church, even in the celebration of the Lord's Day, of gathering together to worship him, there was still the idea of that being the Sabbath. Now, groups have debated that, and you've always had some churches or groups that say, no, you know, Saturday is the day to worship because that's what God established in the Old Testament. But mostly through our history, what's happened in the tradition of Christianity is that Sunday has become known as the Lord's Day, and that Sunday typically we have observed as believers as our Sabbath rest. And so that's why I believe that Sunday is important. It is important in this cycle of work and rest that God has given to us. And I think it is a day to find our Sabbath rest in Christ, to worship him, to cease from our striving and our working. And really, when you stop and think about it, that's why you're here today, to worship God, to find your rest in him, to be restored and to be renewed. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that's why I think that sports, school activity, most work should not take us away from resting in God and worshiping him and from being with his people. And I know that there are some things that are out of control in our lives. I mean, if you work in a hospital, in the medical profession, if you are a firefighter or an EMT, if you're a policeman, if there's certain jobs, you don't have a choice but to work Sunday. But most of the cases with all the things that we're talking about that pull us away from God on a day that's set apart for him, in most cases, you and I can choose what controls our lives. And I won't get on the soapbox that I've gotten on before, but suffice it to say this. If you look at every school sports program or drama program or whatever, if you look at travel soccer teams and other travel sports teams, if you look at all these things that we get involved in, I'd venture to say, at least in our demographic, half of the families that are involved in sports and in extracurricular activities are church families. And it's been years ago, nobody took my advice because it hasn't changed any. It's been years ago I said that if all the Christians and church people in our, let's just say in Johnson County, Perry Township area, if we would all say to schools and to sporting leagues and all that, hey, listen, my kids want to participate, but we're not going to be there for any Sunday activities. Guess what would happen? They couldn't field a team, and they would change their schedule to accommodate the kids. But, and that's why I say we can choose what controls our life. Let me go further out on a limb as we bring this to a close. Let me suggest these things as part of a principle of Sabbath rest in our lives. Let me suggest a rest from social media. Now, most of you know that I, about 8-9 years ago, I quit social media because the detriments far outweighed the benefits for me. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for you, but I will say this. I'm willing to bet, I know pastors aren't supposed to bet, but I'm willing to bet that many of you cannot go one day without being on social media. I bet you anything. I bet you cannot go one day without being on social media. And if that's the case, I want to say that is not healthy. It's not healthy spiritually. It's not healthy emotionally. And it's not even healthy physically. And they're doing more and more studies. They're linking depression in teens with stuff that's being posted on social media. I mean, there's just more and more of it. What if your Sabbath included a rest from social media? That would mean like this afternoon. Rest from your computer and the internet. I'm not on social media, but it's really tempting for me to open up the internet and get on Google and see what's happening around the world. What if I took a rest from that? Read a book. Read my Bible. Not online, not on a device, but read a book. What if you had a Sabbath from your phone? Unless you were calling a family member to talk. What if this afternoon you didn't pick up your phone? Unless you're, you know, son or daughter or aunt or somebody called you. What if you put the phone down? What if you unplugged for a day, a Sabbath rest from your phone, from the computer, from internet, from social media? There's actually a term for this that's been coined. I didn't know it till I read it this week. It's called a technology Sabbath. What if we all took a technology Sabbath? What would our life be like? If you're in middle school or high school or college, what if you took a Sabbath from your homework? Like, no homework on Sunday. I know a lot of families that it's just the opposite. Sunday is the day for homework. You save everything till Sunday and you scramble to get it done before you go back to school on Monday. And what if you took a rest from your job? Unless you have no choice but to work on Sunday, in which case you take another day for a day of rest. What if, and this is for me, what if you try not to take your work home with you? You see, I think God established from the very beginning a rhythm of life that is for our good, and it includes work, but it also includes rest, and part of the reason for that rest is so we can turn our attention to God in worship. And hopefully we can understand the significance of that fourth commandment. It was given to fallen man, sinful man, for our benefit. On the Sabbath, man was not to work but to rest, and in that rest, to worship God. Externally, that meant ceasing from his ordinary tasks in order to be with God. Internally, that meant ceasing from all the self-sufficiency in order to rest in God's grace. You can find your rest in God by following his rhythm of work and rest. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that we are experts at trying to manage our own lives. And we confess that we want to be in control of everything, our schedules, our time. And you give us one word that says, take a step back. And that word is Sabbath. That word is an intermission. That word means that we're to rest and we're to cease, so that we can focus on you. Forgive us for thinking that we are so important that we have to do everything. Help us to find the rhythm of life that you have established from the very beginning of time, that we might find our rest in you. And may we affirm the truth of your word by saying, amen, so be it. Yes, yes, Lord. Help us to lay down all those things that we get consumed with and burdened by so that we can rest in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.